Welcome back, everyone, to the Deep Dive. Today we're going to try to wrap our heads around a truly, like, foundational Christian belief.
Okay.
The idea of Christ being both the ultimate sacrifice and the great high priest.
Yeah, you've pulled together some really intense theological writings for this deep dive.
Yeah.
Teachings from all over the Bible.
Right, from Exodus and Leviticus to Revelation.
Like, the whole thing.
So we're going to first look back at the historical roots of these ideas in the Old Testament.
Okay.
And then we're going to see how they find, like, their ultimate meaning in Jesus.
All right.
And hopefully you listening out there come away with a much clearer understanding of this powerful aspect of Christ's work and, like, what it means for you.
Sounds good.
Okay, so first let's unpack this Old Testament context a bit.
Yeah, the Old Testament really lays the foundation for understanding what Christ achieved. What we find in the Old Testament is an elaborate system of worship.
Okay.
It's often called the cultus, which is basically the formal way that people related to God through priests and sacrifices. Mm-hmm. It involved the tabernacle and then later the temple as, like, central places of worship, mm-hmm. as well as priests and altars and this constant theme of offerings mm-hmm. that involved blood and, you know, even violent death.
Right. And these weren't just, like, random actions, right?
Right.
These practices came from specific instructions and key moments.
Right.
Think of the Passover lamb in Exodus.
Mm-hmm.
This powerful image of salvation and deliverance through the shedding of the lamb's blood.
Right.
Or all the detailed instructions we find in Leviticus for different types of sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
With each serving a specific purpose in their relationship with God.
Yeah.
So if we were to kind of condense the message of these Old Testament practices
right.
as they relate to atonement, what, like, one main takeaway should we keep in mind?
Well, the core idea is that God, in his holiness,
right.
provided a way for sin to be dealt with through sacrifice.
Oh.
These sacrifices were a tangible representation of the cost of sin and God's way of covering it.
Right.
They weren't ends in and of themselves,
yeah.
but they pointed forward to a greater and more ultimate sacrifice.
Right. That makes total sense.
Yeah.
So these Old Testament examples set up this pattern of sacrifice as crucial for atonement, for bridging the gap between humanity and God.
Right.
And then when we look at Jesus,
right.
it's not as if he just appears out of nowhere with this completely new idea.
Right.
He steps directly into this long history.
Yes.
As the fulfillment of that very system.
Precisely. And what's really striking is that Jesus doesn't just fulfill one part.
Yeah.
He actually embodies both of the key roles.
Right.
He is the great high priest of this new covenant.
Okay.
But at the same time, he is also the ultimate sacrifice.
Okay.
His offering of himself,
right.
his body and blood culminating in his atoning death on the cross,
mm-hmm.
is presented as the single and definitive path to salvation for everyone who comes to God through him.
Right.
And it's not just a one-time event that ends there.
Right.
His resurrection is a sign that his sacrifice was accepted.
Okay.
And it leads to his ongoing role as our advocate,
mm-hmm.
interceding on our behalf, as we see in Hebrews 7.23:25.
So why was this entire sacrificial system needed in the first place?
Right.
What basic human need did it address?
Yeah.
That ultimately Christ's sacrifice addresses.
Well, at its heart, it points to the reality that humanity is morally unclean and impure
okay.
before a holy and just God.
Right.
Our sources stress that we are all stained by sin
mm-hmm.
and therefore need cleansing and forgiveness to have a right relationship with God.
Yeah.
The new covenant promised in Jeremiah 31.34 and echoed in Hebrews 10.16
mm-hmm.
offers that very promise of cleansing.
Right.
The removal of the stain of sin and its consequences.
And God didn't force this role on Jesus, right?
No.
Our theological teachings really highlight Christ's willing and active participation in God's plan.
Yeah, definitely. Hebrews chapter 10,
okay.
starting around verse 5,
mm-hmm.
uses strong language to describe Jesus' willing spirit.
Okay.
It even quotes what Jesus himself said, mm-hmm. drawing from Psalm 40.
Okay.
Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired,
mm-hmm.
but a body have you prepared for me.
Okay.
Here I am. I have come to do your will, O God.
Right.
This really highlights his conscious decision to become human,
right.
specifically to fulfill God's will through his sacrifice.
That really paints such a clear picture.
Yeah.
Christ choosing to step into this crucial role.
Yeah.
And the sources also emphasize his sinless nature,
mm-hmm.
calling him in 1 Peter 1.19, a lamb without blemish or defect.
Right.
Why is his sinlessness so important?
Well, it's fundamental. Correct. Because that's what qualified him to be the perfect and acceptable sacrifice.
Okay.
A flawed sacrifice couldn't atone for the sins of others.
Right.
1 Peter 2.24 says that he carried our sins in his own body on the tree. This makes it clear that his death wasn't just some random event.
Yeah.
It was about him taking on the burden and consequences of our sin.
Right.
And Hebrews 9.14 points out that this whole plan came from both God the Father and God the Son working together.
So Jesus acts as this bridge.
Yeah.
The one who brings together a holy God and a humanity marred by sin.
Mm-hmm.
The sources mention him as a mediator quite a bit.
Exactly. John 1.29 famously declares him the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Right.
That powerful image of the Lamb connects him directly back to the sacrificial system we talked about.
Right.
And Hebrews calls him the great high priest over and over.
Yeah, we see that in Hebrews 4.14, 8.1, and 9.11.
Exactly. Yeah. And as the mediator of this new and better covenant through which we can approach God.
Okay.
Hebrews 8.6, 9.1, 5, 12.24.
So what exactly did Christ do as high priest?
Right.
What was his work like?
Well, Hebrews 10.5 and 10
okay.
tell us that he took on a human body.
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews 2.18
yeah.
says that he was tempted in every way, just like us, experiencing the full reality of human struggles.
Right.
But what's really important,
yeah.
as Hebrews 7.27, 9.14, and 26, and 10.12 all emphasize,
okay.
is that he offered himself as a sacrifice once for all to deal with sin.
Right.
Hebrews 9.28 specifically says this was to bear the sins of many.
Okay.
It wasn't a series of rituals like the Old Testament sacrifices
yeah.
that needed to be performed again and again.
Mm-hmm.
It was one definitive act.
Okay.
With permanent effects.
Right.
And lasting forever.
And his willingness is really remarkable.
Yes.
It wasn't forced on him.
Mm-hmm.
But rather a supreme act of love and obedience.
Yeah. Ephesians 5.2 describes Christ giving himself up for us,
mm-hmm.
like a sweet-smelling offering and sacrifice to God,
right.
motivated by love.
Yes.
And Hebrews 10.52 also emphasizes this willingness,
okay.
highlighting his obedience to God and offering his body as the perfect sacrifice.
Now, this sacrifice seems to have an incredibly wide reach.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just limited to a specific group or time period.
You're right about that. Hebrews 7.27 9.1 and 10.10.
Okay.
All stress this once for all nature of Christ's offering.
Right.
It doesn't need to be repeated because it was perfectly effective.
Right.
Hebrews 1.3 tells us that through this sacrifice, he made purification for sins.
Right.
And what's especially important is that Hebrews 9.15 explains that it brings salvation not only to those who believe in the new covenant through him,
okay.
but it also redeems the Old Testament saints from their sins under the first covenant.
Right. So even those who lived and died before Christ
yeah.
still benefit from his sacrifice.
Exactly. It speaks to the timeless nature of his work.
Yeah.
And it goes even beyond that.
Okay.
Hebrews 9.23.24 says that Christ's sacrifice even purified the heavenly things
right.
from the polluting effects of our sins.
Wow.
We'll look more closely at what that means a little later.
Oh,
but it reveals just how cosmic the scope of his redemptive work is.
The idea of substitution also seems to be key here.
Mm-hmm.
This idea that Christ took our place,
yes.
bearing the punishment we deserved.
Yeah, the idea of substitution is deeply rooted in Old Testament sacrificial practices.
Right.
Especially the symbolic act of placing hands on the animal to show the transfer of sin.
Okay.
1 Peter 2.24 says that Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the tree.
Right.
This is a really clear sign of the substitutionary nature of a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, even scholars from different theological viewpoints,
okay.
like Joel Green,
yeah.
recognize that this substitutionary theme is present in the Bible,
right?
As our sources point out.
So the impact of Christ's work is not just a historical event,
right?
But it has current and future benefits for all believers.
Exactly. Christ's priestly service benefits Old Testament believers,
mm-hmm.
New Covenant believers today,
right.
and all of God's people for all time.
As we can see in Hebrews 9.15, 1.3, 9.14, 7.23, 25, 9.12, 28, and 10.14.
Wow, okay.
The effects of his sacrifice are profound. Forgiveness of our sins.
Right. Hebrews 10.1, 7 to 18.
Exactly. Redemption.
Revelation 5.9.
Right. Purification from defilement.
Okay. Hebrews 1.3, 9.14.
Mm-hmm. And the power to live godly and devoted lives.
Okay.
1 Peter 2.24.
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews 9.14.
Yeah.
And most importantly, Christ's constant intercession for us guarantees our final salvation and security in him.
Okay, Hebrews 7.23, 25. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's really dig into that vision in Revelation chapter 5.
Okay.
It paints such a vivid and symbolic picture mm-hmm. of Christ's many roles.
Right. Revelation 5 opens with a dramatic scene.
Okay.
A scroll sealed with seven seals mm-hmm. representing God's final plan for history.
Okay.
And this urgent question. Who is worthy to open it
right.
and reveal its contents?
Yeah.
The first image we see is the Lion of Judah.
Right.
This powerful image of Christ's royal authority, mm-hmm. his power, and his final victory.
Okay.
This is often called the Christus Victor theme.
Okay. But then the imagery shifts.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
It's not just this strong conquering lion.
Right. John then sees not a lion standing triumphantly.
Yeah.
But a lamb.
Okay.
Standing there as though it had been slain.
Okay. Revelation 5.6.
Right. And this instantly connects the lamb to sacrifice,
mm-hmm.
to being slaughtered.
Yeah.
The passage goes on to explain that it's through the lamb's shed blood.
Right.
That he has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation.
Okay. Revelation 5.9.
Yes.
So the victory of the lion mm-hmm. is achieved in this paradoxical way through the lamb's sacrifice.
That's right. It really highlights how both roles are intertwined.
Yeah.
And how they are both essential to his redemptive work.
Mm.
And notice the incredible worship directed towards the lamb.
Okay.
Revelation 5.1 to 13.
Yeah.
The lamb receives the same honor. Mm-hmm. Glory and praises God the Father, clearly confirming his divine nature and his equality with God.
Okay, so let's look at this concept in Hebrews 9.1-128.
Okay.
Which can be kind of confusing.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that Christ's sacrifice somehow atoned for heaven itself.
Right.
Why would heaven,
yeah.
God's perfect dwelling place, need atonement?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
And it's a passage that's caused a lot of debate among theologians.
Okay.
Hebrews 9 contrasts Christ's high priesthood with the old covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of entering a physical earthly tent.
Right.
The tabernacle.
Yes.
Which was limited and temporary.
Okay.
Christ entered the true holy places.
Okay.
Into heaven itself once and for all.
Right. Hebrews 9.02.
Exactly. And he didn't do it by offering the blood of animals as the Old Testament priests did.
Right.
He did it with his own blood,
mm-hmm.
thus obtaining an eternal redemption.
So the earthly tabernacle and all its rituals were just symbols.
Right.
Pointing to these greater heavenly realities.
That's a really important point.
Okay.
As Hebrews 8.4 to 6 makes clear,
okay.
the earthly sanctuary was designed and based on the heavenly one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the confusing part comes in verse 23 of Hebrews 9.
Okay.
It suggests that it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these animal sacrifices.
Yeah.
But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these.
Okay, this is where it gets interesting.
Right.
Why would heaven need purification?
Right.
What does that even mean?
Well, to understand this, yeah. we need to go back to the Old Testament understanding of how sin affected God's sanctuary.
Okay.
Leviticus 16,
mm-hmm.
specifically verses 15 and 16 describing the Day of Atonement,
okay.
explains that atonement had to be made not only for the people and the priests,
right.
but also for the most holy place itself
yeah.
because of the uncleannesses of the children of Israel.
Okay.
And because of their transgressions, even all their sins.
So the people's sins weren't just personal failings.
Right.
With individual consequences.
Right. Yeah.
They actually contaminated
yes.
the very place where God chose to live among them.
Exactly. As the theologian Jay Sklar puts it.
Okay.
The sins of the Israelites defiled the Lord's sanctuary.
Right.
Precisely because God had chosen to make his presence known there.
Okay.
It created a tension.
Right.
A barrier caused by sin
mm-hmm.
in the place where God dwelled.
Okay.
Think of it this way. In the Old Testament,
yeah.
sin wasn't just a personal issue.
Right.
It was seen as defiling sacred spaces
mm-hmm.
because God chose to dwell in relationship with his people.
Yeah.
The writer of Hebrews uses this analogy
right.
to explain how Christ's sacrifice
yeah.
dealt with the impact of sin on God's heavenly dwelling.
So this earthly defilement of the sanctuary by sin
mm-hmm.
helps us to understand why purification is needed in the heavenly realm.
That's the connection that the writer of Hebrews is making.
Okay.
Just like the sins of Israel defiled the earthly sanctuary.
Yeah.
our sins, in a way, affect the heavenly sanctuary,
right.
God's very presence.
Okay.
And so a greater sacrifice, right. Christ's own blood,
right.
was needed to purify these heavenly things.
So in Hebrews 9.23 talks about better sacrifices for the heavenly things.
Yeah.
It means that Christ's perfect sacrifice is infinitely better than the repeated animal sacrifices.
Yes.
And that it cleanses even the heavenly realm from sin's effects.
Exactly. Commentators like William Lane agree with this.
Okay.
And they emphasize that the theological framework of Hebrews 9 assumes that this need for purification extends beyond the earthly realm.
Okay.
Sin is seen as a kind of defilement that spreads.
Okay.
It not only affects individuals, but also the community of faith.
Right.
And even the sanctuary where God meets with humanity.
So the heavenly things in Hebrews 9.23 and 24 ultimately refer to heaven itself,
yes,
to God's presence,
right,
which Christ's blood purified.
Exactly. Yeah. This allows him to appear there on our behalf,
right,
and grant us access. That's the amazing implication,
right?
Christ's ascension into heaven with his own blood wasn't simply about him physically leaving earth.
Yeah.
It was about him presenting the final and perfect purification for sin.
Right.
Effectively cleansing both the earthly and heavenly realms from its power.
Wow. That really expands the scope of Christ's work.
Yes.
Far beyond just our personal forgiveness.
Right.
It has effects that reach across the cosmos, right?
It definitely does. It shows how thorough, how complete, and how powerful his saving act is.
Okay, so to sum all of this up, Christ's work as both the ultimate sacrifice and the great high priest is incredibly wide-ranging.
Yes.
It addresses our sin, providing forgiveness and cleansing.
Right.
But it also goes beyond that.
Yeah. To purify both earth and heaven, removing every obstacle to our relationship with God.
That's a perfect way to put it.
Yeah.
His work has dealt with the root problem of sin.
Right.
That separated humanity from a holy God. And he has done it in a way that's both final and eternal.
Yeah.
Reaching into the very presence of God himself.
That really gives us a lot to consider. For you listening in, think about the profound implications of Christ's sacrifice reaching all the way to God's presence.
Right.
What does that mean for your ability to approach God?
Yeah.
For your standing before him? Reflect on the connection between earth and heaven.
Right.
Through Christ's amazing and all-encompassing work.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everybody.